Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jean Marie Schaefer.
And my name is Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we talk about estate planning and Medicaid and wills and trusts. It's a call-in show. We welcome your questions. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900. So happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year. How is everything going, Jean Marie?
It's going well.
Holiday craziness is over, for better or worse.
It is. That's right. How about you with your kids?
Yeah, same thing. All the craziness is over. It's kind of like a depressing kind of year. Like, now what do people look forward to?
Yeah, it's a little tough. It's always hard to take down the tree this time of year.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
it's kind of sad after, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You drive by and you see some of the discarded trees on the side of the road. It's like, aw.
It is. It's sad.
And it's also the act of having to. I feel like I just put my decorations up. I have to take them down already.
All that
work.
Oh. I know. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Every year. But we do have something to look forward to for people. You know, besides coming to see you, me, and Dave to update your estate plan or do your estate plan. That's always exciting.
That's right.
We have a few programs coming up that people can come see us and learn some new things.
Right. In the beginning of the new year, it's a good time to kind of, you know, set your resolutions. And it's not all about losing weight, right? It could be about getting your estate plan in place.
All those things you like to put off.
That's right.
Estate planning usually being one of them. But on January 7th, so what's that? That's this upcoming Tuesday.
Yes.
You are at the William K. Sanford Library on 629 Albany Shaker Road in Albany, and that is at 2 o'clock.
That's right.
You're going to be doing my New Year's resolution. Have you planned your estate?
Absolutely.
You just said.
Yes.
Same date, January 7th, also at 2 p.m. David Kabikian is going to be at the other end of the Capital Region up in Queensbury at the Queensbury Senior Center doing an elder law basics presentation. And the week after, January 15th at 1 p.m., I will be at the Clifton Park Half Moon Library. Also, similar topic to you, 2025 New Year's resolution, plan my estate. So come see us. Come learn.
You
come
guys
say
got
hi.
January covered.
We do.
You're all set, yeah.
We do. January's a big month.
Yeah, that's right. Excellent. That's great.
It's a time you set new financial goals, and so it's a great time to think about your estate planning, take out your will and trust if you have one and see if it's up to date. If you don't and you want to do one, come to one of the seminars just to learn about it.
And we also give free consultations. If you want to come and take a look at things with us and just see, hey, I'm still fine as is, or maybe I should update that, no harm in coming to check in.
No, not at all. And we do that. I met with clients yesterday who were doing that, and I said everything was good. And they're always kind of surprised. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like,
be charged something or
I'm like, no
doesn't always happen.
Everything's good. There's really nothing to update it. They were this is a topic that comes up frequently, a little bit too young to do a trust, so they were going to wait a few more years.
I had the same situation yesterday. So
yeah.
Slightly too young, not the right situation in life yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they got some other things in order in the meantime, which is always important,
right?
So how was your New Year's Eve? I heard I think you told me it was somewhat low key.
It was very low key. Gone are the days of the
crazy
parties.
Yeah.
Well, John,
yeah.
You were out partying till 2 a.m. I suppose.
Yeah, no, not anymore.
No,
I used to do DJ parties for years.
Oh,
until
did you?
3-4 in the morning. There's right. No way. I mean, I'm in bed by 9 o'clock. But we did wake up 5 minutes to midnight to see the ball drop. So
there you go. Set the alarm. Wake up. Mm-hmm. Watch it drop. Back to bed.
Exactly. Yeah. Such is life
good.
Of us older folks, I suppose.
Fun story I learned, John. Jean Marie has been to Times Square to see the bull drop not once, but
cool.
Twice.
Oh, wow. That's
but
great.
I will never go again.
So like,
yeah. It's got to be crazy, you know, with all
crazy.
Those people.
Oh,
well, talk me through that. The first time I get it, right? New Year's Eve, New York City, everyone does it. I got experience.
Right. You could say, I did it.
But the second time, is it a punishment or why'd you go back?
I don't think it was. Maybe my memory's not serving me well. I don't think it's as crowded back, 30 years ago as it is now.
That could be. What did they have, a million and a half this year? So
right.
I mean,
you might be right. Yeah, that could be.
I mean, it was crowded, but I don't remember being crushed,
Right, yeah, now they're crushed.
You're packed in like sardines.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't go to the bathroom. This year it was pouring rain and cold. Right. Mm-hmm. Sounds like not too much fun to me.
No.
One time I was crushed, which I would never do again, is we went to see the fireworks on the east side of Manhattan on the FDR Drive.
Yeah.
And we literally were almost being crushed.
Oh, like, I can imagine.
We kind of jumped down off of there and got
really?
Away. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, people don't care about your personal space.
No.
In those environments. Mm-hmm. So 2025, we are a quarter year into the century, if you put it into perspective.
I honestly hadn't thought of that until you mentioned it.
Yeah.
That is a crazy
kind of crazy,
thought.
Right?
Yeah. You know, quarter century. Yeah.
None of us here will probably live to see the end of the century. My kids mm-hmm. might, which is also crazy.
That is crazy, right? Mm,
yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
So I thought it'd be fun to talk about. I was doing a little research last night on some differences between the year 2000 and 2025 that are relevant to what you and I do, you know, in our world, in Medicaid and asset planning. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw some of these at you, see what you think about it, and kind of...
Because I was actually a practicing attorney 25 years ago, and...
And I was actually entering high school.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
You're getting nervous about Y2K?
Yes, I was.
Remember Y2K.
Remember all the preparations we made it for nothing?
Yes, we did. I remember that.
Yeah, there was no reason to get panicky at all.
We were waiting for the drop of the ball, with bated breath.
Nobody knew it was going
to
happen.
Everyone's computer to go dead.
Yes.
And all the power to go out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was a pretty crazy year.
It didn't
happen.
That
was crazy.
A lot of uncertainty there.
Yeah.
Luckily, we're okay.
Yeah, but so you were there in the middle of that.
Yes, I was in the middle of that.
As a practicing attorney.
Yes, I was. Yeah. We backed up all our stuff on our computers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would assume, right?
Yeah,
as an office, you had to.
Because we were afraid everything would go.
Just in case.
It was probably on
a floppy disk.
It was floppy disk.
It was.
Well, the technology companies probably made some good money that year.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Funny.
So the first little factoid I have here regards the Medicaid resource limit. So Medicaid resource limit, we talk about all the time. If I apply for Medicaid to pay for my nursing home or pay for in-house care, there's a certain amount of assets I can own in my name, not countable assets. So
that's right.
In the year 2000, the limit was $3,750 per person. Pretty low.
That is very low.
Incredibly low, actually.
That is extremely low. That's insane.
So this is one where it increased a lot. So in 2024, they actually have not come out with the 2025 numbers yet. Surprise, surprise, the government's a little bit behind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was hoping to maybe give some of the new 2025 numbers today, but we're still on 2024. So these numbers are going to increase slightly. But as of 2024, it's $31,175.
Big difference. Right?
Big difference. Now, I don't know, and maybe you know, you were practicing at the time. In terms of exempt assets, do you know, were there any assets that are now exempt that weren't back then? You know, for example, we know that IRAs, retirement accounts.
That's what I was just trying to think of. Like all the normal ones, like your house and your car and your prepaid burial were exempt.
Those are still exempt, right? Yeah.
I don't remember if retirement accounts came in after that or not.
Because there was a time, I believe, that retirement accounts were accountable assets in that world.
I was trying to picture like the year that became exempt, and I can't remember that.
I feel like I recall like maybe 98 or so. I think it was a little bit pre-2000.
Mm-hmm.
But still, the limit is a lot lower.
It was a lot lower. And the limit was lower for years. It was only about, you know, it gradually increased up into the teens. And then was it 2 years ago when it just doubled?
Yeah, I think it was 2021 when it went from about 16,000 or so up to the 30,000, now 31,000 now, so...
That's right. So it's only more recently that we've had this higher number, which is, you know, it's great. It's still not a lot of money, but it's much more feasible than the lower amounts.
I think it was a much needed increase. I don't know how they were figuring that amount of money was suitable in that day and age. Yeah. But
does anybody really know how they do it?
No. Yeah. No.
I don't think there's really a formula. You know,
there's a guy in a room, and they ask him what his opinion is, and shoots out a number.
Some things follow, like, you know, the COLA every year, the COLA increase. Right. This is just random. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the asset limit, right? So then we also have an income limit for... This is for community Medicaid. So if I'm in my home or in an apartment and I have aides coming to care for me or I'm attending a day program for adult pay program, in 2000, the income per month limit was $625. Now, that sounds low, but in 2024, it's only $1,732.
Yeah, right.
So the increase, just about a little over doubled in 25 years.
That's not a big increase.
And if you talk, you know, if you look back and you look at what things cost of living was in 2000 versus 2025, mm-hmm. I guarantee it increased much more of a percent than that did.
True, true. And again, that only got that high in 2021.
Yeah, it was a lot lower then too. So that was a little surprising to me that it's been that low of an increase. I mean, luckily in that world, and we've talked about this before, you can still preserve your income by mm-hmm. using a pooled income trust.
That's right.
The tool we put in place, and basically any amount that your income is over that limit, mm-hmm. we transfer to this nonprofit agency that acts as a third-party mm-hmm. payer. So instead of having to pay the excess income to Medicaid and lose it, mm-hmm. we're still able to protect it and use it toward the Medicaid applicant's expenses and whatnot.
Right.
But it is extra work. I mean, it'd be nicer to have a little bit of a higher allowable limit.
A little bit of a base amount. But the nursing home amount has not changed.
The nursing home amount, I mean, in the government's eyes, I guess, you're in a nursing home, literally everything, all your needs are met.
But you need things like, you do need, I don't know, clothes and toiletries and snacks or I don't know.
I guess they assume you're going to sit in your hospital robe all day. I don't know what they're...
I know, they need to leave you a little bit more money because $50 doesn't even get to... a haircut.
That's the example I always use because you can get... Uh-huh. You actually have to pay for your haircut in a lot of these facilities.
Yeah, you do.
So that's what your $50 goes toward.
But it's but that $50 has not changed at all.
No.
Which is ridiculous. It's been 50 the whole time.
That is pretty crazy. You'd think they would give you a slight bump there, but nope.
No. Wow.
Now, speaking of, you know, having enough money to live off of, I think this comes more into play with the next fact. So... If you have two spouses and one spouse is institutionalized in a nursing home and the other spouse is still in the community, there is a figure that we call the minimum allowable community spouse income.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're under that amount, they're allowed to keep some of the income from the institutionalized spouse in the nursing home. So in 2000, the community spouse income limit or minimum was $2,175.
Oh, very low.
So... Low, right? So if you were the spouse in the community, you made less than $2,175, you'd be allowed to keep enough of your spouse's income to bring you up to that figure.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was you still have your expenses. It helps you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
2024 hasn't actually increased that much. It's $3,853.
Right. It's not a whole lot that it's gone up.
No.
And the amount that they let you keep, I mean, that figure back in 2000, that's barely going to cover your housing costs.
Yeah. And again, costs have increased excrementally since then.
And today, that's barely going to cover your housing costs, your car, your groceries.
Yeah, so. we see that very often when, you know, especially if it's the, a lot of times there's a discrepancy between what the spouses make.
Mm-hmm.
So if the spouse with the much higher income goes into a facility and the other spouse really is left with that amount of income per month, mm-hmm. how can they pay for property taxes, homeowners insurance, their regular expenses, their utilities.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they have to make a major life change to reduce those expenses, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So that number could be a bit higher.
Yeah, that number could be higher. So I think, all these numbers really haven't changed a lot. If they were going with, you know, inflation, they would be much higher.
Yeah,
today.
When I was looking them up, I thought they may have changed more, some of these, mm-hmm. but no, not mm-hmm. quite much. So the next one we'll touch on quickly before we get to the break. So the New York Medicaid nursing home look back period in 2000.
This
was a little interesting. So this is if I'm applying for Medicaid because I'm going into a nursing home, I want Medicaid to pay. Mm-hmm. How many years did they look back over all my transfers that I've made?
Mm-hmm.
And it was 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was still 5 years for transfers to trusts only at the time.
That's
they had
right.
a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
And now in 2025, it's 5 years for all transfers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's to a trust or transfers, gifts to kids or grandkids or whatever the case is, 5 years across the board. So that also hasn't, I guess, changed very much. We always get people talking about 7 years.
People come in are positive that it's 7 years.
Yeah. I don't know. I really still have no idea where.
I don't know where they're getting that information.
I don't think there was ever like a proposed legislation to increase it to 7 years.
No.
Somehow that rumor has circulated.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But
all right. We'll be back with some more of these interesting figures after the break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. We have been talking about things that were different a quarter century ago, in our world at least.
Right? Yeah.
Many things were different a quarter of a century ago. And it just sounds weird to say that it was a quarter of a century ago.
And these things are interesting to us. Maybe no one else finds this interesting.
Oh, I don't know.
I do.
I find it interesting that you were going into high school, but that's just me. So.
Yeah, you know.
That's all right.
Well, for me, now I have three kids, so it's a big change.
Yeah. That is a big change. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So before the break, the last one we had left off with was a look back period for applying for nursing home Medicaid. Mm-hmm. I didn't bring up the look back period for community Medicaid. So if I'm in my home still and I apply for Medicaid to pay for aides to come in, still no look back.
That's right. There was no look back then. There's no look back now.
That hasn't changed.
And another thing I will say, that community Medicaid has always been around, because sometimes I get clients who say, oh, that's, I never heard of it. Is that new?
Yeah.
And no, it's been around. It wasn't as well publicized back then for whatever reasons. I think it was more well-known downstate than upstate.
Sure.
Right. But that's always been available. It's a great opportunity to, you know, explore about staying in your home.
What I don't think was available in 2000, and you may correct me, Jane Marie, but the CDPAP program, where you could actually choose your own aide and pay a family member or a friend or a private aide.
That came in soon after.
Yeah, I don't think it was 2000 quite.
It wasn't quite 2000, but it was soon after that it was.
So that's a little bit newer. I mean, I get that one even more commonly. Mm-hmm. They didn't realize, we have our private aide. We don't want to lose him or her. Or our daughter or son-in-law cares for us because they're out of work. And they don't realize that Medicaid can also pay them. So that's actually a great program, which is a little bit newer. Not quite new, but newer.
That's true.
So the next one I had here, and this one, if people fact check me on, I may be mistaken because I did my best to research this, but the New York average nursing home cost in 2000, and you tell me if I'm off base, if you can recall, but from what I could find, it was around $7,500 a month or so, about $200-ish to $250 a day was the, you know, what nursing homes were charging for private pay rate back then, in New York, at least.
I do think that's right, because, so that's more than doubled, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now.
More than doubled, but I think that would be about right for that.
Sounds about accurate. Good. Yeah, all right. So my research is somewhat on point there. Good. So 2024, 2025, it's about $18,000 a month on average, which is a figure that's incredibly shocking to many people. And that's only going to go up. I mean, let's be honest. That's not going to level off or go down.
Nope. That goes up every year without fail. That does not.
That number goes up. Medicaid figures and whatnot don't go up very much. Those figures continue to rise incrementally. So very expensive, very expensive. So getting into the tax world a little bit. Mm. Love the tax world.
Yes.
Very exciting. So federal tax, federal estate tax limit. So the amount of assets I could die with and not owe any federal estate taxes in 2000 was $675,000.
Yes.
Which, when you add everything in, is not that much money.
It's not that much money. And certainly back then, we did a lot of estate tax planning. Because $675,000 would affect a lot of people. It could be your house and your retirement plan, and you could be over that amount.
Right. Or throw in a life insurance policy.
And a life insurance policy.
Boom, you're way over.
So part of every estate plan we did back then was estate tax planning, and it would be marital, you know, a family trust and a marital trust. There was this complex planning to take use of your exemption. We would do trust for life insurance. So planning was very different back then, even your basic plan for your, you know, everyday couple.
Now, Jane Marie, I know you love this planning, but we just don't get to give it to you as much as we would like to.
I do. I love it because I knew that's what I, you know, was trained on.
Right? It is. I mean, it is interesting because I think you get a little more creative in that world of figuring out how to mitigate the taxes and limited family partnerships and all this
type
of stuff. There's many different things we could do there, but we don't have to use it that often because the 2025 limit for these numbers has come out. So 2025, the federal estate tax limit is $13,990,000. So that's up from $13,600,000.
I don't think you say $14 million.
I don't know.
Yeah, why is it?
Who knows? Again, it's the guy in the room choosing numbers. It's whatever
it's essentially $14 million.
Yeah, so it's just slightly under $14 million. So that's about the 300,000 or so increase from last year, which is a pretty big bump. And the New York estate tax exemption in the year 2000 was $675,000. So it matched. I think that was the first year where it went to matching the federal for a while. And then it stayed at a million for a long time. But in 2025, that figure is $7,160,000. And that's up from $6.9 million. So that went up a decent amount, too.
It did. That's right. But with those numbers, so remember, that's your individual amount. So if you're married, it's double, right? So very few couples are going to be at, you know, $14 million New
Double
York
that.
Or
right.
$28 million federal, right?
But what is interesting there, so the big difference federal versus state, the federal has what we call portability. So say I die and I transfer everything to my spouse. And the transfers between spouses when you die doesn't use up any of your estate tax exemption.
Right.
So for federal, say I didn't use any of my $13.9 million, I pass, I leave it to my wife. Now, her exemption when she dies is $28 million.
That's
about
right.
Because I didn't use mine. New York doesn't have that portability.
No. So in New York, you do have to do some planning if you're around that mark, right?
So yeah.
Around the $7 million mark, not the $14 million mark.
So if, like, say you have a couple that's around, let's say, $10 million or so. We know we're over. It's probably going to increase with the market and whatnot. Very basic. What would you tell that couple to do?
Split the assets,
right?
So that there's enough in each spouse's name.
Yeah, because then you're taking advantage of the first spouse to die's exemption,
right?
And we can do things where it goes into a trust where it could still be used for the surviving spouse's benefit, but the surviving spouse never actually inherits it, so it doesn't become part of his or her exemption amount.
That's
so.
Right.
If you are lucky enough to have this amount of money, we still can help you. Again, we don't see this as commonly, but there's many tactics we can use to still mitigate these taxes. And who knows, in the future, maybe the government, you know, the taxes, that high federal tax exemption is technically still due to sunset at the end of 2025.
That's right.
Unless they extend it with President Trump now coming in, who put it in effect initially. We think it's likely they're going to extend it.
It's likely it will be extended. So, but you do never know, right? So you always have to, you know, just make sure, your checkups, you're up to date, make sure you know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a good reason to check up on these things and revisit your attorney if you already have a plan. Is it still fine as is? Because if a big change like this comes out, you know, we try to reach as many of our clients as we can to let them know of it, but it's always good to be on top of your own stuff and be checking these things.
Right. So I'm going to bring up something that has changed that's not numbers, is the power of attorney form.
That was next. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Jane Marie, you're reading my mind here. Weird.
Yeah. So the power of attorney form, I loved the 2000 power of attorney form.
Yeah. Oh, I remember because I did one for my mother, one page.
One page.
It was front and back, right?
Page.
It was front and back.
Yeah, but so technically two pages.
Okay,
but
two pages.
Still.
Yeah.
A long page too, right?
Yeah, legal size.
Legal
page.
Size. Yep. But it was so simple and easy to explain.
It was. Yeah.
I mean, the only pain was you had to initial every letter instead of the all above, but that was okay. Right.
Yeah, New York really complicated POAs over the year. they've tried to take a step back. So I had that as my next one. So the 2000, I had two pages. 2025, the short form, meaning just the basic form, is about seven pages. With modifications, so there's a section called modifications where attorneys can put in different powers,
yes.
which is a very important section because that's where we put in all the powers that your agent would need to be able to engage in asset protection planning.
That's right.
If you got sick.
Planning and trusts and gifts.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that brings it up to like 11, 12 pages or so.
Right. It's so long.
Before 2021, though, mm-hmm. as you know, so from 2010 to 2021, it was, I think the short form was about 8 or 9 pages, and then they had like this additional 5-page
statutory gift rider. Which was also difficult.
It totally made no sense. Like, why would you make it a separate rider? And,
right.
So it was even longer then. So they tried to reel it back in 2021 and somewhat streamline the form, get the rider out of the picture and integrate those powers in
that,
the main
That
form.
Was an improvement, I would say.
It was.
Right. But it's still a very long form and going through and explaining modifications, and you have to initial everywhere, basically, to give all those different powers.
Yeah.
It's a complicated form. When it was the 2-page form, I would say you probably could do it on your own. I mean, I always advise you to go to an attorney when you're doing a legal document, but that you probably could do on your own.
Without fail. So we send our clients, before they come in to sign the estate planning documents you create, we send them drafts about a week or so before to take a look at themselves. Without fail, every time they come in, they're like, this power of attorney, what in the world am I looking at? Like, where do I, there's so many things.
And they have no questions about the will and the healthcare proxy,
know.
Right? But it's a power of attorney that they are very confused
Always
about.
A power of attorney. And, you know, it's fine. We go through it with them very detailed, and it takes a while, and we got to explain every provision. You know, but it is a pretty complicated document. And the problem has become that all the institutions that you would use a power of attorney with, financial mm-hmm. institutions,
right.
the government, title companies, they know this long form.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to do something mm-hmm. as an agent
right.
and that power is not specifically in that form,
mm-hmm.
they're going to give you a problem. They're going to say, oh, well, it doesn't specifically say you have that power.
Right.
And it's sometimes hard to overcome that. So we're forced to do that modification section and
right.
really spell out all these different powers. You know, you and I were talking the other day about how, you know, should we update our document in the modification
yes.
section? And it's tough. You know, one example in particular we brought up, the power of your agent to change your beneficiary designations.
Right.
Which is a pretty broad power.
It's a big power. Right?
But on the flip side, I've used it a number of times in a situation where, you know, say you have two spouses and, you know, one's in a nursing home
mm-hmm.
and we need to change the beneficiary to make sure that the sixth spouse doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Otherwise, it could go to the nursing home. The agent has to be able to change that. So it does
yes.
come up.
It is a tough balance between, yes, giving your agent a lot of powers, right? And, you know, most people do trust their children, but we could come up with all the stories where things have gone bad.
Plenty of stories.
That's right. And that makes people hesitate, right, to
yeah.
give their child all that power. So it is tough. You know, I think in general, it's better to have the flexibility and, you know, 99% of people with their kids, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
And sometimes we'll hold it back and say, don't have your kids sign it yet so they can't
True.
Use it. We'll hold on to it. And
right.
With some precautions where they can't sign it and get it unless we get permission or
mm-hmm.
there's a doctor's note that says the parent's now incompetent. So there's safety measures we can still put into place, but we have to explain that.
That's right.
I hope this was interesting.
Have a wonderful weekend. Stay warm.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.